Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show or watching the show on the social media sites or YouTube on the Cross Politic channels, soon to be the Fight Laugh Feast channel. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast network. You can go over to crosspolitic.com, soon to be fightlaughfeastnetwork.com. Become a member, come alongside of us as we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. Then you get great benefits, you get discounts on merchandise, you get exclusive audio content, music, and so much more. Plus, if you put in the memo field HTBT, you get a really cool HTBT mug. Don't forget about our business plan contest that's going till March 31st. If you have a business idea or a business and you've never really made a business plan before, or maybe you just want to update your business plan, or if you just want to learn all the different areas about your company that you work in, maybe it's a bigger company, why don't you consider making a business plan and submitting it? If you submit your business plan by March 31st, I will review it and I'm going to pick the best business plan, the best idea, the one I think has the best chance of being successful. And when and whoever that is, I will invite them onto the show for free advertising, a free interview where we're going to discuss your business plan, go through some of your ideas and the different sections, and just give you some time to discuss your idea and to promote your idea. And hey, maybe there's some investors looking to invest in some new up-and-coming businesses. Got some angel investors, some seed people looking to invest in some seed rounds. So if you are looking to start a business, now is the time to take that first step of starting your business plan. If you have any questions about the business plan or anything else about the show, about your own business, whatever it is, you can reach out to me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. You can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. That's YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and all those good things. So today we are going to talk about the six questions you should ask yourself as you are starting to enter the world of investing. Before we get into that, I want to talk to you about our sponsor for the month, 24/7 QBO. They offer you white glove customer service for your QuickBooks needs. If you are subscribing to QuickBooks, if you have QuickBooks, make sure that you are getting the most out of it. Make sure that you're not going to have any problems when you go into your tax guy, that your balance sheet and your income statement, your cash flow statements are all crisp, they're all well organized, and you don't have any problems. You don't get any auditing from the IRS. You don't want to get audited by the IRS. That would be terrible. 24/7 QBO will help you keep all that straight. Make sure that you have it all set up right so you get the most out of your QuickBooks experience. Get the most bang for your buck out of your subscription for QuickBooks. Go talk to these guys, 24/7 QBO. Christian company supporting the show. Help them as they help us by supporting the show and bringing you all these great shows that we are doing, including our series on investing. This is part three of investing. So it's a part three of the series of investing. And how many parts of this series is there going to be? I'm not sure yet. I'm just going until I have run out of topics to talk about to get you into a place where you feel comfortable with starting your investing career, your investing journey. Whether it's on the side, part-time, for whatever reason, we're going to talk about some of that today. So I want you to ask these six questions to yourself. And the first question that I want you to ask is, what are your goals? Why are you investing? Are you investing because you have retirement aspirations? You want to have a certain lifestyle? You don't want to have to downgrade your lifestyle at all when you retire? Or are you investing for your kids' education? Is it for a new home? Is it for a new car? Or maybe it's to buy a second home, you know, on the river or a lake or on the beach. So you need to think about, just like with anything that you start out to do, what are your goals? What are you trying to accomplish? Because whatever that goal is, how you invest and what you do, if it's outside of investing, is going to change and depend on what you're trying to accomplish. Don't ever go into something without having a goal. That's just a good general tip in life, that you should always have a purpose for what you are doing, the overarching purpose for the kingdom of God. But then underneath that is, How and what are you doing to fulfill what you think God has for you to do under that vision? The second question I want you to ask yourself is, what is your risk tolerance? And a lot of this has to do with your age, how old you are, how much money can you afford to lose, and how much time, if you were to lose a significant amount of your investment, how long do you have to make that up? If you are younger in your career, you have a higher risk tolerance. If you are older in your career, older in life, then you're going to have a lower risk tolerance, because if a 2008 happens when you're 60, it's going to be a lot harder for you. It's going to be more devastating than if you're 20. And if 2008 happens to you, one, you probably have a lot less money invested. And two, you're going to have your whole life ahead of you to make it up, opposed to somebody who's later in life. So that is a big consideration for you to be thinking about when you are investing. Also, are you living paycheck to paycheck? If you are, don't be investing. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, make sure you are starting to build up cash on hand, cash in the checking account or in the savings account. Really, the interest rates make it so it's not really a big difference. And make sure that you have a runway of amount of money just saved up in case you lose your job, in case you lose income, if you have some hardship that comes your way. And after you build up savings, then you start investing with that extra amount. And also make sure that you're paying off your debt. That's another one we've talked about before. The surest way to get a good return on your investment is to pay off debt, because that is a guaranteed way to make money. Because if you are paying a 10% interest rate and you pay down on your credit card or student loan or home loan, whatever it is, and you're paying off that interest rate, you're guaranteeing a return of 10%, because otherwise you would be paying it to somebody else. We've talked about in past shows, the fastest way to increase profits is not to grow your revenue, which in our case, in our personal lives, would be to get more income coming in, but it's to cut cost. And one way to cut cost is to cut those debts out of your life. So if you're living paycheck to paycheck, if you have debt that you need to pay off, go build up that savings account, pay off those debts, and then start investing. That's probably very Dave Ramsey-esque, isn't it? But that is really solid advice, and I would really highly recommend you do that. The second thing I want you to think about is, what if something like 2008 happens with whatever amount of money that you have to invest? $100, $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, a million. If you lost 37% of that in one month or one quarter or 1 year, how would you feel about your investment? Would you be able to stay in? Would you be able to gut that out? Oh man, I'm telling you, when you have investments and you lose a substantial amount of money, that's a gut check. It's like Vegas, where you go and you need to understand that you could lose it all. Now, it's probably you're not going to lose it all in the stock market, but you can lose a lot of it. And in 2008, the S&P lost 37%. 37%. Now, that's not 50, that's not all of it, but still, that's a big chunk of change. So you need to be prepared. You need to go into it with the understanding that you could lose it. And that's what's great about being a Christian, is our security isn't in money, that our hope isn't in money, our hope is in Jesus, and we know that he's going to provide for us. So we have a little more faith, or we have a little more risk tolerance, I should say, to make those investments. But you want to be wise with your money. And really, a lot of the times, unless it's really secure, like bonds, I am assuming that I'm going to lose a large portion of it. And when I don't, and when I make smart moves, hey, I give myself a pat on the back. I'm really surprised. I'm really happy. But it really helps me with those low swings to not make emotional moves, because it's my whole life savings. It's a small part of my financial portfolio. So if I do get a big dip in the swing, I'm not like panicking, I'm not freaking out. I'm still making rational, logical decisions. So that is another thing to think about when you're evaluating your risk tolerance. The third question is, how often do you want to buy or sell? Do you want to have a buy and hold strategy, Warren Buffett is famous for this. He barely ever sells stocks. And when he does, it's in the news. It's a big deal. Everyone is like second guessing the company that he's selling in. It's like, oh, do I have them in my portfolio? And what's wrong with their management? Does the CEO need to be fired? That is what goes down every time he sells, because he rarely sells. He is in meetings with the senior management of the company. He knows the intricacies of his businesses that he's investing in, and he makes big moves, and he just sits there and he holds them. So that's the buy and hold strategy. Now, you probably don't have the same access that he has, so you're gonna have to supplement your research with other people that are more in the know, but that could be a really good strategy for you. And then there's the day trader. Now, these are professional traders who are using algorithms, they're using AI, they're using really expensive programs. And we're gonna talk about programs in a little bit. But these guys like have the hardwire and they get instant stock feedback and they're trading on signals. This is not you. If you're listening to this podcast for advice, you are not cut out to be a day trader. Maybe in 5 to 10 years, when you do the research, when you start really getting familiar with everything that has to do with investing on the stock exchange, and you move to Chicago or New York where you can get instant feedback on stocks, and you can implement those really expensive programs, then maybe you can consider day trading. But if you're listening to me, you should not be day trading. And then the third way to buy and sell stocks is the way I call, it's my own little thing, it's educated trading. And this is what I've been trying to tell you guys to do and been encouraging you guys to do on past shows, is to be more long-term minded and not be a day trader, and to buy in quality stocks, but not to ride the highs and the lows. And we talked about that yesterday, I think, is that you wanna sell on the highs, somewhere on the high, not the highest, and you wanna buy on the lows, somewhere not necessarily just the lowest. But as long as you can get that and you're not riding the hills of the Idaho Palouse, you're gonna be doing well. And you do this by being educated in the companies you're investing in, the industries you're investing in, the political climate, what the Fed's doing. And when you combine all that together to make a guess and to make your best educated guess on where the stock market is, where that stock is, and when to buy and when to sell. I've even known people to just focus on one select core group of businesses and just know them really well, and to buy and sell just those stocks in that industry and have some success with it. The next question I want you to ask is, what type of investments do you want to invest in? Do you want to invest in index funds like the S&P or the Dow? They have funds that mirror those. Bonds, maybe mutual funds. And then for maybe if you're more experienced, individual stocks, real estate. I guess real estate, you don't need to be like super experienced. That could be a pretty safe bet because it's always going to be worth something. So that's kind of nice. But you do need a lot of money to invest in real estate. And then maybe like we've talked about before, angel investing, small business investing, crowdfunding. Maybe it's currency investing. Now, those are all things that I would recommend for more of an experienced investor. And then this is the next question, and I'm going to put this list of the top 10 best software trading programs, but is what kind of platform do you want to use to get data? Now, there's many different platforms. A lot of them are good, and I love this list. They have such a good comprehensive list that really goes far more in depth than what this show is going to cover and should cover, but it's really great, so please check it out. And they go through a bunch of different rounds on what and how to pick a certain platform to get your information and graphs and indicators from. Really recommend it if you're going to be a serious investor. And they go through the 7 rounds. And the first round is they compare price versus quality, broker integration versus live trading, the fundamental and technical screens, the stock market news and integrations that you get through the platform, the stock market charts, the indicators, the drawing tools. And then 6, the backtesting, forecasting, and robotic algorithm trading, which it touches on what those really day traders have. And then the best app for ease of use, intuitive, and simple install. So they go really in depth into these platforms. They recommend 7 out of the 13, I believe it is, that they compare. Check those out and see what's right for you. Some of them are good for local domestic stocks. Some are good for foreign stocks. Some are good for bonds. And there's just a whole bunch of different factors to consider. So check out the ones that would be right for you. And the last thing I'm going to say about this question is make sure you understand the graphs. It takes time to study and understand what you're looking at. And let me pull this chart up right here, this Gantt chart that's right in the middle, and then all these other symbols and numbers on the side. It can be really overwhelming if you just see it for the first time. And just like any type you see, a new chart, any graph in any new industry, make sure that you take time to understand what it's saying. Now, you don't need to understand that this is a Gantt chart, and you don't need to know the names of all the charts, but you need to be able to read and understand what this chart is telling you, and you need to be able to process that information and understand it correctly. So if you don't have experience with reading charts, reading graphs, reading data, take time and get familiar with it before you put any money into the stock market, into investments, or if you're in business, before you make a business decision, make sure you understand the data, because data is going to give you the best decision, or give you the tools to make the best decision, because you have all the right truth, you have the right data, and you have the right information. It's harder to make a right decision with bad data. So make sure you know the charts. And the sixth question is, what type of research are you going to supplement your research with? That's kind of a long question. But what I don't want you to do is trust other people for the research. You need to be putting in the research. Now, you should be getting advice from people. You should be reading what other people have to say and evaluating it with what you see yourself and the research you do. And I want to just give you some good research tools that I use. I use the Motley Fool. I really like them. I've had people, probably in the last 20 years, I've had people throughout my life talk about how much they use them, and I've always heard good things about them. I really like them. I like their philosophy on research. Zacks and Seeking Alpha are two other really good ones. And Wall Street Journal and Yahoo News, I only use for a good laugh. And that brings up a good point, that you be careful of the bias of these researchers. Some of them have political bias, and it's been really fun to see in the last 2 years. I mean, you need to be able to weed out the bias that is in some of these recommendations, some of these people that are forecasting the economy as a whole and how the stocks are going to relate. You need to be thinking about that stuff and also be using political research too, especially with all these trade negotiations going on and how much of a company is diversified into other countries. That's going to make a big impact as well. So again, do not trust people to do 100% of your research. Don't outsource your research. Do your research yourself. Put in the time like you're building your own business, but get other trusted information as well. And what I would recommend is to take these companies that you've heard from me or somebody else that they say they trust, and just watch them and see how they perform and see if their advice plays out before you start using their advice to supplement or critique your own research. Don't rely 100% on other people's research. You are responsible for your money. Make sure that you are doing your own research. All right, so those are the six questions asked when you're starting to invest. Hope they're helpful. If you have any questions on those, you can email me at matthowtobuildatent.com. You can look, find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. Give me a follow or share it with a friend on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of the above. And we will talk to you tomorrow. God bless.